Lord Brahma is speaking. This demon Hiranyakashipu received from me the benediction that he should not be killed by any living being within my creation. With this assurance and with a strength derived from austerities and mystic power, he became excessively proud and transgressed all the Vedic injunctions. No purport to this verse and the next, so we will read the next two verses. Dishtyatatanaya satur maha bhagavatur bhakaha tvaya vimochito mrityor nishtyatvam samito duna. By great fortune, Hiranyakashipu's son, Prahlad Maharaj, has now been released from death. For although he is a child, he is an exalted devotee. Now he is fully under the protection of your lotus feet. Etat vapuste bhagavan dhyayatak paramatmanaha sarvato gopir santrasan. Sarvato goptri santrasan mrityora pichigam sadaha. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are the Supreme Soul. If one meditates upon your transcendental body, you naturally protect him from all sources of fear, even the imminent danger of death. Purport. Everyone is sure to die, for no one is excused from the hands of death, which is but a feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mrityu Sarva Harashchaham. When one becomes a devotee, however, he is not destined to die according to a limited duration of life. Everyone has a limited duration of life, but a devotee's lifetime can be extended by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, who is able to nullify the results of one's karma. Karmani nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam. This is the statement of Brahma Samhita 5.54. A devotee is not under the laws of karma. Therefore, even a devotee's scheduled death can be avoided by the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord. God protects the devotee even from the extreme danger of death. So this is a very crucial topic of the Srimad Bhagavatam, death. Death and devotional service, they go together. The seed question of the Bhagavatam, who remembers the seed question of the Bhagavatam?
What is the duty of a person of darkness?
Yes, what is the duty of a human being, and especially the human being who is about to die? What should that human being sing about? What should he speak about? Why should that human being hear about, remember? To whom should he or she worship? And also, what he should not do? So that's the question. It's a very crucial question, very relevant. And sometimes, okay, as devotees, we are supposed not to fear death. Of course, the test will be if someone takes us by the neck, then we will see if we fear or don't fear death. isn't it? Some, I don't know what's your experience, but sometimes we feel fearless when there is no danger around, meaning immediate danger that we are seeing it. Danger is all over the place, but we do not see it. And we think we are okay, so we don't experience fear, isn't it? But as soon as danger takes place, I remember once I was cooking. There was a Sankirtan traveling book distribution party. So we had a caravan. I was the cook early in the morning. This was one of those days the Sankirtan devotees wanted to take the car and travel 1 hour distance or 2 hours from where we were. So they wanted to leave early. So I was cooking 6 o'clock in the morning, 5:30, something like that. Very small caravan. There was a sitting place where devotees were chanting japa. And a little altar, Sri Panchatattva, Srila Prabhupada. So suddenly, the gas for some reason was open. So when I lightened the match to start cooking, a big flame came up. And the devotees, they were chanting Hare Krishna japa, 4 or 5 devotees sitting, very attentive, chanting, totally focused. But immediately the reaction, even I was astonished. They run immediately out. I don't say they didn't do right, but the point I intend to make is as soon as there is danger, fear comes. Well, it's not that okay, take it cool, like, very relaxed, fire, okay, meditate, Hare Krishna, remember Krishna, go slowly. No, immediately they run. And when the devotee went to the, they were very good, they went to the place where the gas bottle was outside, started trying to pulling out, he was pushing. I went out also, I was very young, I followed in their footsteps. I don't say I'm not, but I was very naive, and I thought, okay, we should have been more transcendental. But no, immediately the devotees reacted. So fear is there. It's an intrinsic condition of the embodied self, of material existence. In this world, we all experience fear to a greater or later, or a greater or lesser degree. Isn't it? It's kind of bhaya, it's there, it's present. And especially when there is illness, old age, fear will come. Of course, if we become very, very advanced, then, okay, we may be in another category. But generally, fear is there. As devotees, as we surrender to Krishna, we do not fear in as much as we surrender to Krishna. But we should make a clear separation between the, meaning when we think in terms of personal realization, personal application, in the theoretical, theological statement, a devotee is free from fear, or the realization of it, that we really are free from that condition. It is not that easy. As Maharaj was speaking yesterday, Bhaktivishrambha Madhava Maharaj was talking, you are not this body, prove it. Remember he was giving as a challenge, okay, do not just Nirjala Ekadashi, but do not sleep on Ekadashi. So it is not that easy to prove that a devotee is free from fearfulness. especially when there is danger. If someone attacks us, how do we respond? What's within the heart? How do we feel about it? The natural condition in this world will be experience fearfulness. It's natural. In the condition, in the embodied state, it's the psychophysical. That's why we have material bodies. And only someone who is a Mahabhagavat, completely self-reliant, or a fool, like Hiranyakashipu, will not feel fearfulness in this world. Hiranyakashipu, he didn't feel fear because he was a fool. Or appear not to feel fear. Maybe in his heart, when he saw Lord Narasimhadev, something happened within his heart. What's going on? But because he thought, okay, I have rubber stamp, I have guarantee by Lord Brahma that no one can kill me. Therefore, I am secure. I can do whatever damn thing I want to do. And no one will be able to question me. But actually, the Srimad Bhagavatam teaches that there is the nature of this world. The Srimad Bhagavatam is full of narratives of death. Can you think of narratives of death besides the original one, Maharaj Parikshit's narrative? Which others are there? King Kulasekhar is quoted, he's not actually directly described in the Bhagavatam, although Srila Prabhupada describes him. Ajamil, yes. Ajamil, he was about to die. And he was a very sinful person. He was in a very fearful condition. He started to call his son who was nearby. He had affection for his little son. And the Yamadutas were coming to get him. Gajendra the elephant, he was very powerful, very proud. Who can challenge me? The king of the elephants. I have many, many companions. I'm here enjoying in the water, having a good time. The crocodile told him, get out of here. No, I'm king of the elephants. I can do whatever I want. So then the crocodile started to actually kill him. He was about to die. He was being defeated even though he was so strong. Other narratives of death. Ashvatthama. Yes, you mean when he kills the sons of Draupadi and he throws the Brahmastra weapon. Yes, very heavy stories of death. Like for a mother that her 5 children are killed. Can you imagine that? You have 5 children and they are killed while they are sleeping. Not one killed, the 5 of them. Very heavy, very intense story. And then how do these devotees respond to death? How Draupadi did they respond in such a compassionate and unbelievable way, thinking of not denying her pain, she had pain, but not desiring the extreme pain she was experiencing for the mother of Ashvatthama, who happened to be the wife of the deceased guru of her husband. Very compassionate, very grateful, while going through a very painful condition, a very extreme situation. She was feeling heavy pain, but being able to remain in divine consciousness in such an extreme condition. Other descriptions of death? Bhishmadev, the passing away of Mahajana Bhishmadev, such an exemplary death, fully Krishna conscious. Jatayu is briefly, it's more but yes, he's mentioned in the ninth canto. In the Mahabharata we find a more elaborate description, how he gave his life for Lord Ram, and he didn't hesitate to, even though he was going to be defeated, but he didn't think it twice. Srimati Sitadevi was being kidnapped, so he was going to react for the service of the Lord. And it doesn't matter if one wins or loses, quote, win, loses, in the service of the Lord. In the service of the Lord, the loser is a winner. Outside of the service of the Lord, the winner is a loser. Any other? Dhritarashtra, yes. Dhritarashtra, how Vidura came, Mahatma Vidura came and gave his elder brother the push he needed to become aware of his precarious condition. He was old, he was ill, he would die very soon. He had to become prepared to get ready for the time of death. Maharaj Parikshit, this is the first, the original, the central narrative, very good. He had been cursed to death. He didn't fight it back. He took it because he considered he had committed an offense. This was the punishment, even if it was disproportionate. Okay, he took it. I did it. This is what I'm getting in exchange. Okay, sorry about it, but not sorry. This is welcome. I take the reaction because this is what the Lord is giving me. Yes, Sati Devi, in that case, this is a very dramatic, very extreme this description, how she voluntarily gives up her body, and we should not imitate such activities. Yes, Maharaj Katvanga, very good. You mentioned Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra was mentioned. Oh, Vritasura, okay. Okay, Vritasura. Very important narrative of the Bhagavatam. Vritasura, the demon devotee. Someone who appeared to be a demon, but he was a devotee with the body of a demon. Who was that devotee? Who was, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he was situated in Prema Bhakti, pure love of Godhead. Who was he in his previous life? Yes, Chitraketu Maharaj. And he also experienced another story of death. His very dramatic story. He wanted to have a son. He couldn't have a son, even though he had so many wives. Even the numbers becomes a challenge if we try to analyze the narrative from the empirical point of view. How many million wives? 10 million wives? 10 million, right? 10 million. London, how many people live in London? How many women in London? Probably less than 10, yes, 10, less than 10, 10 million. So, anyway, I'm not challenging the Srimad Bhagavatam, I'm just saying Srimad Bhagavatam goes beyond empirical calculation. It's not a literature to be understood by empirical calculation. The point of the narrative is that if one's destiny is not to have a son, it doesn't matter how many wives one has, or for a woman, how many husbands one has, will not have any son. And if the person pushes it because one is too eager, wants to overrule God, there may be an option given, okay, you insist, okay, you want it, you get it. And Gira Muni told him, you can have a son, but the son, be careful, because the son will be a motive of joy and also cause of suffering. Are you sure this is what you want? Yes, I want it. Okay, sign here. And then he got it. His child was poisoned. So a very intense, very heavy description of death. So we see, we could go on and on and on. So many narratives of death found in the Bhagavatam. But actually the point of the Bhagavatam is not about death. The main message of the Bhagavatam is about eternal life. Eternal life means eternal life of devotional service, divine service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is experience. And in this narrative now we are reading another narrative of death, very intense one. Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj. Hiranyakashipu is the supreme materialistic person, so ambitious, ready to sacrifice anything to become immortal. The level of austerities performed by Hiranyakashipu, the Bhagavatam describes, no one had ever performed them before, and no one will ever perform them in the future. So how is that? That it's an unbelievable level of austerity. How is that possible? What level of austerity he performed? That the insects were eating all the flesh in his body, and he became so concentrated, so powerful, so such a clarity of purpose in terms of material desire, so clear about what he wanted, that even though the worms were eating his flesh, he was able to maintain the vital air within the bones, standing with his two hands, looking to the head of the universe, practically forcing him to appear in order to get the blessing of immortality. He wanted to become immortal by artificial means. And then, on the other hand, Prahlad Maharaj, the little defenseless, harmless child, pure devotee of the Lord, very compassionate, very merciful, playing with his school friends and teaching them how to chant Hare Krishna, and very naturally speaking the truth to his father when he would ask him, what did you learn? What did you learn in school? What's the best lesson you have received in school? Without any fear, in a very, very, very peaceful way. And his father, probably the mother was, I don't know, the mother is not described, directly described in terms of trying to kill him. I don't know how together she was with the father in that regard. But a poisonous cake was given to him. So I don't know if the mother was involved or someone else was involved, I don't know that. But everyone, all the dear ones, his family members, tried to kill him. See, the greatest extreme of child abuse, severe abuse, very, very severe. We cannot imagine. Whatever, some of us may have gone through abuse, being abused as children, to a greater or lesser degree. The level of abuse Prahlad Maharaj experienced is the greatest, it's very extreme. Throwing him from a cliff, put him on oil, boiling oil, being burned in a place with venomous snakes. Such a terrible conditions given to Prahlad Maharaj. But yet remaining, remembering Krishna despite all the difficulties and becoming immortal. Becoming immortal, here Srila Prabhupada in the purport describes that by the mercy of the Lord, the duration of life increases beyond what is calculated according to destiny. And the meaning is that devotional service is completely beyond the laws of karma. Karma, jnana, all these laws are subservient to the service, the pure devotional service devotees offer to the Lord. There is no limitation. And as Lord Krishna explains to Uddhava in the Uddhava Gita, that devotional service is like a blazing fire. It burns to ashes whatever amount of fuel which we pour on the fire. There is no limit. So by the mercy of the Lord, a devotee may see his life extended to a very long period of time. Longer than it was due to karma. Or by the mercy of the Lord, a devotee may die soon because the Lord has another plan for the devotee. And for the devotee, there is no problem because the experience of devotional service is already on the platform of Amrita. Amrita means immortality. The nectar of divine service, divine experience. Therefore, there is no difference between life and death. Srila Prabhupada used to tell the story of the sadhu giving blessings to different people. Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. Giving blessings to different people. Remember four types of people. Again, another story about death. Srila Prabhupada told that story on the disappearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur in 1968. He also talked about that story in other occasions. Yesterday I was doing a little search on the folio and this is the first which appears. And the sadhu will give blessings according to the person and also considering what is the desire of this person who is approaching me and what is possible for that person, what is the best, not in a general, from a general point of view. So the Rajaputra, the son of the king, the prince, he told him, Rajaputra Chiram Jiva, you live forever. Because now, as a prince, you have a very very good, nice condition of life, enjoying life, even a more or less, we could say, a noble way of enjoying life. Kings become and princes may become entangled in material life, but they do it in a way which is royal. It's more or less, we could say, from the external point of view, noble. So you live forever, because as soon as you die, this is the implied meaning, as soon as you die, you will have to pay the karmic reactions to the sinful activities committed in enjoying life. Even if we try to do it in the best, noble way, it is unavoidable that in this world we will commit offenses and sins. And then we have to pay for it. To the butcher, the butcher, he's committing sinful activities constantly. So it's majiva mamara. Do not live, do not die. Because while you are living, it's a very, very horrible condition of life, surrounded by blood, violence, constant violence, cutting to pieces the corpses of animals. It's a very, very bad condition of life. And accumulating great karmic reactions are becoming accumulated. And there is no limit to how much this person is going to suffer. For example, we have heard that by killing a cow, one is born to be killed as many times as hers that cow has. So it's very difficult to make statistics, to make accurate estimations of how much the butcher is going to suffer. So therefore, jiva ma, maro ma. Do not live, do not die. Then there is the Muniputra, the son of the sage, a brahmachari son. He is being trained in the Gurukula. He's performing austerities. It's properly situated. And the advice given to him is, let me see the Sanskrit, majiva, simply, majiva. Do not live. Do not live. Die immediately. Because if you die in this, in the present condition, you are pure. You have been educated in a very nice family, you are pure, you will go back to the spiritual world. Or at least to a very high condition on the way back to the spiritual world. So therefore, die immediately. But then Srila Prabhupada said, for the devotee, sadhavo jivava maroba. For the sadhu, for sadhu Vaishnava, you can live, you can die. There is no difference. Because whatever you do, you are engaged in devotional service. If you are living in this world, serving Krishna with the mind, senses, words, with the whole your whole self, you are actually situated in eternal life. Even if the body is going through the different transformations, things are happening in the body, even in the superficial mind, but for a devotee who is engaged in devotional service, there is no dying. It's eternal life. The Upanishad also explains that. You can live for many or unlimited years and will not become entangled in the laws of karma. And when the devotee dies, death means a stepping stone on the way back home, back to Godhead. However, the Lord wants to take the devotee back to the spiritual world, that becomes a very good stepping stone going back home, back to Godhead. So therefore there is no difference for the devotee in living or death. Also Sri Narottam Das Thakur, he has sung Radha Krishna Prana Mora Yugala Kishore Jivane Marane Gati Aronahi Mor. Sri Sri Radha Krishna are my life and soul. In life or in death, they remain my soul refuge. They are my refuge, the devotees, their devotees are my refuge. Sri Narottam Das Thakur is seen in this transcendental way. So this is something that can enthuse us, that we don't need to do much. We just need to serve Krishna, serve the devotees, and let us be carried away by the Lord. Just take shelter. Just perform our duties in service to Krishna and the devotees, participating in the kirtan, hearing the descriptions of the Lord, remembering Krishna in our seva, offering whatever seva we can offer, offering it in the best sincere way we can, with feeling. And if we don't have feeling, just doing it for Krishna. Sometimes happens, we feel dry, but it's okay, we do it for Krishna, and then feeling, that's up to Krishna. The ecstasy may be there or may not be there, according to Krishna's will. But our as devotees, our seva is to continue doing it regardless of what's happening, what Krishna is giving us. The servant is not entitled to demand to the master anything. The real servant is entitled to serve the master, to please him. And then whatever he wants to give, take that. And especially such a merciful master, who always is going, he always gives more than we deserve. So we don't need to worry or to demand to him for anything, nor material, nor spiritual. But of course, spiritually, we pray to become pure devotees, to become real devotees, in terms of being completely surrendered to his lotus feet. Not just like closing the gap between the theological statements found in the Shastra or the there is no qualificative. Most impressive is not enough, but exceptional, extraordinary, outstanding, and whatnot role models found in Srimad Bhagavatam. Closing the gap in terms of becoming devotees, pure devotees, as the Bhagavad devotees. This is the goal. This is the goal of hearing, of discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, of chanting the holy name of the Lord. That the theology of Krishna consciousness is not different from the experience of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes there is a difference. Sometimes we talk things, but there is a difference between what we talk and what we are. This is the state of sadhana. In the state of sadhana, there is a difference in that the realization is not yet awakened. And yet, by the mercy of the Lord, we are getting the full benefit by doing sadhana, by the mercy of the pure devotees of the Lord, who are engaging us in sadhana, we are getting the full benefit. But in the perfectional state, when a devotee really, he is a premi bhakta, he is absorbing Krishna constantly with love, without thinking of anyone else, not in a selfish way, but in complete absorption on the lotus feet of the Lord. This is how prema is described in Nectar of Devotion, that the devotee has focused completely on the Lord as the object of love, without thinking, diverting it to no one else. Of course, that's an exclusive, inclusive way of loving. That's the amazing of devotional service, that by loving Krishna without deviation, a devotee loves everyone as parts and parcels of Krishna, because he sees them connected to Krishna. But that cannot be imitated. That's something, when that will day will be mine, we sing sometimes, reading the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when that day will be mine. So, in any case, whether there is a gap or there is no gap in serving the Lord, in the theological statements, and who we are in our present condition, we are most fortunate to be in the association of devotees and to be able to participate in this transcendental Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in which Prema Bhakti is available to each and everybody through the chanting of the holy name of the Lord in the association of devotees. It's the greatest gift that many times we don't realize. I talk about myself. We don't realize what a great gift we have received. Thank you very much for listening patiently. If you like to ask questions or make comments,